Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to my show. This is Jeff Brown, Sustainable You on Authentic You Media. And today's show, we have our special guest today is Mike Guido, and I'll talk more about him in a minute. I just want to give a general background on the show again. It's still a relatively new show, and focus on the overview of what we're trying to get at here. The basic focus is how to be self-educating, self-sustaining, and aware for now, 2012 and beyond. So we're looking at things educational, sure, but we're looking at other aspects of our lives, principles and skills and knowledge that we need to acquire and obtain in order to not only achieve in career, but to find a satisfying and enjoyable lifestyle, I guess we could say even. And Mike and I are going to talk about that today and get a little more into the specifics of what the focus of our show today is. And we're going to talk about how do you find those things in your life that really get you up in the morning, get you moving, get you past breakfast, and with a great attitude and get up in your step. There's a lot of people I've been studying this for some time. Many people just accept employment or job or paycheck or even career as kind of a nasty necessity. Surveys have been taken where 40 to 60% of people not only are just okay with their jobs but hate their jobs. I've been there, and I think many of us have been there, and you don't want to go back there if you've been there before. I personally have been there where the lack of energy provided, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word, or lack of energy given from a situation, job, career that you don't enjoy, it doesn't match with who you are or why you're here. And I do believe that everybody has a featured purpose as to why they are here, and that we should be exploiting those purposes as a collective citizenry so that we can maximize not only ourselves, but help our fellow brothers and sisters, because nobody likes a grouch, unless you're watching Sesame Street, I guess. So that's the focus for today. We're going to talk. I'm going to bring Mike on in just a few minutes, a short while. And we want to focus on what is it, the things that we can do, and some of those things will seem not commonplace or ordinary, or you might raise your eyebrows to and say, really, that's how I find satisfaction or achievement and satisfaction in my life. Sure, there have been many people who have achieved but have not done so in a satisfactory way. I know people who have left 6- and 7-figure salaries or incomes behind to take a serious pay cut to do that which they really love, and they find such great satisfaction in that. The money really doesn't mean that much. I think most of us like money and what it can do for us. And Zig Ziglar says it's closest thing to oxygen, or the next thing to oxygen. But if you're not getting that money, if the money isn't coming in through maximizing and exploiting your basic talents, skills, and abilities, God-given gifts, desires, and so forth, then why are we here for such a short period of time? So Mike Guido, he's a nationally recognized comedian and a writer, and he's been on national TV appearances, appearing on Showtime, A&E, MTV, and VH1. Shared the stage with such people as Jay Leno, Robin Williams, Ellen DeGeneres, and so forth. Listened to his latest comedy CD, Who Needs Sanity, which is on iTunes and Sirius Radio, satellite radio. But he has another project in the works right now, and it's related to his daughter and autism. And I'd like to bring Mike on and have him talk about that. Mike, are you there?
I am here, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Great to hear you. Great that we connected and we have no technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's always a plus.
And you're in your garage?
I'm in my not the man cave right now, yeah.
So we were talking right before the show, and Mike said he's in his garage and I'm in my underwear, so it should be a great show. So why don't you talk a little bit about yourself, anything you want to reveal, as long as it's PG-13 or less, and talk a little bit about your current show and your daughter and autism and all that.
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, I guess, I don't know if you could do my life and my family in a nutshell. It'd have to be like huge, huger than a shell. But my wife and I have five children in the home, including our daughter Maria, who has severe autism. And Maria's actually 20, but she's still an innocent child. But these are the last five of nine that we've raised. We've got four out of the house and on their own, and five remaining. So we're essentially clinically insane, my wife and I, at this point. But so that's what we do. I've done stand-up comedy for over 20, 25 years. Took some time off from that. Thought I had it out of my system while my wife and I ran a nonprofit organization, coincidentally called the Maria Foundation, named after our daughter Maria, where we work with autistic children and their families, trying to help them as much as we can. Then I came back to Southern California about 3.5 years ago to pick up my comedy career where I left off. And then I wrote this show. It's called A Real Man, subtitled Dad, Daughter, Autism. And it basically tells the story of how Maria, my daughter Maria, with severe autism, how dealing with that from a man and a dad and a husband standpoint, and how it just challenged me to the core, you know, literally knocked me to my knees, and how I came out the other side just a much better man for the whole thing, and I'm grateful for it at this point. So that's my story, essentially, and that's what my show, A Real Man, is all about.
And I think that's important. We were talking off the air sometime last week, I think it was, you know, about the fact that it's strange how we move along in life, and you said you did comedy for a while, and then you gave it up, and now you're back at it because of a good cause. And it seems like as we move along in life, move forward in life, if we're paying attention and being a good student, you know, we start to see things that become evident, I think, pretty obvious to us as to what we need to do in order to move forward and do not only do the best thing that's for us. There's always self-interest in our careers, and it should be that way because, you know, we're not going to be doing things that other people are interested in. We got to maximize our interests, skills, abilities, knowledge, talents, desires, and all that innate stuff, you know, that we're born with. But as we were saying, you know, sometimes it takes a while to find our way or find that thing that really we can hook into that we go, oh, man, yeah, now I got it. This is it. And why don't you talk a little bit about that in regards to your show and how that, what you're doing now with your show and autism and your daughter and how that works into your kind of like, you know, a eureka moment in your life's desires to, you know, move forward and achieve.
All right. And that's a good way to put it, a eureka moment. And I have lots of moments like that with this show. You know, I have to tell you, I love being on stage making large groups of people laugh really hard. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, that's a great feeling. I love doing that. The other part of the comedy business, being in a comedy club, which is essentially a bar with a stage, I work clean, and I have to, you know, sometimes sit through other acts that are just taking the low road, and, you know, they're just sometimes vile and disgusting, and I don't like that at all. I don't like that part of it. I don't like the challenge of getting work and, you know, and being considered for gigs and so forth. You know, that part of it, I don't really enjoy that part of it, but being on stage, making people laugh, there's nothing like it. But this show, and comedy's been really good to me. I mean, and I appreciate that. I mean, I've been on national television a bunch of times, hung out with big stars at a ball that way, and it's really fun. That's really, and I really appreciate it. But doing this show, A Real Man, the story of my daughter and her autism and so forth, when I have people come up to me after the show, grown men wiping tears away, as one man put it, he said to me, I laughed more than I had in weeks. I cried more than I had in years at my show, A Real Man. And when other people approach me after the show, and there's usually a line of people shaking my hand, telling me, man, you just hit home with us. We really relate. And thank you so much. It's inspiring. It's uplifting. Now I know I can do it. you know, because we have a child with autism and so forth. That, to me, is like, you know, 40,000 TV appearances. It can't even come close to comparing to the gratification that I get from that kind of response from audiences and individuals with this show. It's really awesome.
And I think that's, as you were talking about this, I think of Jim Carrey and what he said about fame and fortune. He said, I would love for everybody to become rich and famous so that they can see how little it means. You know, and, you know, because he has always suffered with depression. And he said, you know, becoming rich and famous just made me rich and famous. That's all. It didn't add anything of great merit and significance to our lives. And we talked also, you know, I used to do stand-up comedy, did it in Boston, working with Dane Cook and others who are pretty high up there now. And I did it for about 5 years. And there's, if, like you said, when you get an audience laughing, that is a rush, and it can stay with you for days, you know. But then the thing is, it's just temporary and fleeting. And that's something that you recognize in your career and myself as well. So I want to talk about that. You know, why would somebody, and, you know, you hear about these well-known people, and I happen to mention some people who are making 6 or 7 figures, you know, they're, the money after a while doesn't mean that much. I want to do something that really, you know, touches my soul and that helps me touch the souls of others. And that's the route I've really been following and you do been following. And I think we have a real common connection there also with our backgrounds. So let's delve in a little deeper into that. You know, the merit aspect of careers, and, you know, and not just going for the money, even though it's sad to say we're in a very celebrity-oriented culture. You know, you look at every reality show and people will want to watch celebrities and read about celebrities regardless of how ill-informed they are or unintelligent or lacking in morals, which is really sad, you know. But let's talk a little bit about that, you know, doing something with our talents that really does more than just makes money for us or makes us famous. But, you know, that using our talents to do something of great merit and purpose and worth, how does that work into your life and how do you feel about all that?
Well, right. I mean, if there's anything I know, and everyone should know just by reading the news and seeing certain celebrities in the news for not positive reasons, struggling with this, struggling with that. I mean, fame and fortune are really cool, I guess. And obviously, fortune can make life easier in terms of living comfortably and so forth, taking care of things. But they do not equate to happiness. They just don't. And
right.
Look at example after example after example of people with fame and fortune who are unfulfilled, a lot of times very unhappy, drug and alcohol abuse, divorces, and so forth. Now, not everyone with fame and fortune is like that, but it is pretty common. So we know,
right. Ergo,
fame and fortune does not necessarily equal happiness, not in a million years. I know friends that I've had in the entertainment business for, you know, 20, 30 years, and some of them are still working at it. And I have a friend in particular. He's appeared in major motion pictures. He's had a lot of success. He lives fairly comfortably, but he's unfulfilled in life, even though he has a wife and beautiful children. Which should, in my estimation, that's where you find your happiness and your peace and your joy and your satisfaction in life. But because his career is not exactly what he wants, he just hasn't really hit it the way he wants, he's not fulfilled and he's not happy in life. And to me, that's a tragedy because he's blessed. He's blessed with a beautiful family and friends and so forth. And the thing about making people laugh and being a big shot after a show or people recognize you in the street or in an airport or something, is it becomes fairly addictive, where you're now always looking for that, and you're not happy unless you're getting that, unless you're getting those strokes and people telling you how wonderful you are and so forth. And you have to, I have a daughter who's 12 years old, and she's a pretty good actress, and she's done a bunch of films and about 15 or 16 commercials. And as long as she loves it, my wife and I are all for it. You go get them, honey. But I'm always telling her, listen, do not get used to this. Do not seek after this when people tell you. Because when she's on a set, everyone's, you know, makeup and hair, and people are, and I always tell her, listen, two things. One, you always say thank you and please for everything, no matter who it is. And two, don't get used to this. Don't think you need this, because you don't. If you never set foot in front of another camera the rest of your life, you will still lead a very happy and fulfilling life, because you will do things right and you'll get married and you'll have your family, and that's where you will find your happiness, your peace, your self-fulfillment, your self-esteem, and so forth. As we know this saying, Jeff, you and I, that the most important work you and I will ever do will be within the walls of our own home. And
exactly.
that is true. And that's what I try to point out in my show, that here I was, this big shot comedian touring the country, you know, flying around, staying in nice hotels, getting picked up in limos from time to time, being on TV, hanging out with big stars. And that's all nice, I guess. But what really did the trick for me was my family, in particular my daughter Maria, and what I had to do as a husband and as a dad for her. I had to put aside everything and just love her and serve her with all my heart and soul, no matter what that meant, and not think of anything in return. Just say, I am here for her, whatever she needs. And that's when I finally got to that point, is when I had peace, when I accepted everything, and when I was happy about it all. I became actually happy about it. Like, I love my daughter exactly the way she is, and I'm grateful for how she is, because she blesses our lives every day with the challenges that she brings us, but also the pure, innocent joy that she is full of and spreads. It's really awesome.
One phrase comes to mind. You can never get enough of what you really don't need.
That's
one of the problems with fame, fortune, money, extraneous desires or extrinsic desires. In psychology, there's a psychologist, and I have some of my students and clients read this book called Why We Do What We Do. And if it's not intrinsic, if it's not an internal desire, and most of our internal desires, if we look closely, have greater merit and purpose and functionality than we probably imagine or understand upon first or, you know, surface observation or searching. And I remember, I was thinking also of Robin Leach, you know, that show Lives of the Rich and Famous, and he said, after he was done with the show, you know, he didn't want to say this while he was doing the show, but he said after the show was over, he said, those are some of the most miserable people I've ever met. And once again, it's not to knock money or to knock fame. There are people out there who are rich and famous who are well-adjusted. I think of Tom Hanks as one, and I've met other people in the industry, you know, who are really way up there and are great people, but it's very, very difficult to maintain a proper perspective. And one of the things that people don't realize, and I think your friend might fall into this category, your well-known friend there who's doing pretty well for himself, but he's not satisfied, is that the board, there's basically six human needs that everybody has. And at the core, at the bottom, at the foundation is growth and contribution. And contribution comes in from service, giving to society, and society is built upon families, as we know. And I once wrote an article on families, and I was reading across the board from different religions, you know, if it was Christians or Buddhists or Hindus or Muslims, they're all saying the same thing, how important the family is. And if you read about societies, you'll often see sociologists and others speak to the concept of family and that the foundation of the most productive, happy, content, and successful societies, not just individuals or small groups of individuals, are families, you know, families where the right principles and things are taught to kids. And I think that's one thing that we're falling away from now. And we're getting into a serious problems because of that. But I wanted to say one thing quick. We've only got about 10, 11 minutes left, but I wanted to mention that we have a giveaway today, maybe a giveaway or two. If you're in the area, Mike has a show, his show. And what's the name of the show again?
It's called A Real Man.
At Studio City, May
26th. It's coming Saturday, May 26th at 8 o'clock at the Two Roads Theater right in Studio City on Tuhunga Avenue Boulevard.
And if you're in L.A., we're going to be giving away two tickets. We'll reserve two spots for you if you call within the next 10 minutes. If you don't live in L.A., don't worry, because we also have a CD, one of Mike's CDs. I don't know. You can tell us which one you like to give away.
My CD is called my CD is different from The Real Man Show. My CD is just my straight stand-up comedy, and that's called Who Needs Sanity. And it's doing real well on iTunes, and I'm actually getting checks every quarter for
checks.
Yeah, people are buying it.
You said the magic word. My ears perked up. Checks. All right.
Such a concept that was foreign to me in terms of I don't do anything, and money comes to my mailbox. And, you know, they say money doesn't buy happiness, but every quarter for one day, money does buy happiness in my cold heart.
Yeah. I think it was Zig Ziglar. I'm sorry?
No, I was just laughing.
Oh, sorry. I was cutting out a little bit there. Zig Ziglar was the guy who said, you know, money isn't everything, but it's a close second to oxygen.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do need it. And also it's a good thing. I think a lot of people poo-poo money. You know, if you want to be rich, if you want a lot of it, that's bad. Well, if you want to do a lot of good, maybe you want a lot of money to help a lot of people. Or maybe you want a good amount of money to provide for yourself and for your family and for you through retirement so you're not a burden on society. So I always try to look at I love money myself, man. But I'm not going to set that. It's not an all-consuming desire, and you know, having priorities in check are, you know, a good thing too.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna one up Zig Ziglar by any means, but I would put right under oxygen love. Because with that in your heart, and I know that sounds kind of like a cliche. Oh, we need to love everybody, and the birds are singing and tweeting. And there's beautiful colors, and the Care Bears are around. I'm not doing that, but I mean it. I mean, with love in your heart, when you have money, you'll do the right thing with it, and it won't jade you, and it won't turn you the wrong way, and so forth. And that's what I was saying about even people in the entertainment industry that I've come in contact with. That you were saying too, Jeff. That are well adjusted are the ones that have somehow in their lives put themselves in a position to where they don't need fame, fortune, attention, recognition to wind their clock, to float their boat. You know what I'm saying? It's fun and it's nice and they appreciate it, but they got other things in their life that even if the entertainment bump was taken away or that segment, they'd still be happy. And those are the really, really cool people in Hollywood, ask me.
Yeah, and they're few and far between. When I was in, I did stand-up mostly in Boston and then came out to L.A. for a while, and I only did it for a little while because I realized that my path was taking me elsewhere. And I worked with a few actors. I worked with James Cromwell, you know, the guy that played the farmer on Babe. And
yeah.
He's a really cool guy, and all these actors and actresses are running around, you know, get these starlets, these wannabes, shouldn't be, they ain't never going to be, nobody wants them to be type of starlets, you know, and we're begging you not to be. And then I had some veterans there, some 55-year-old lady who was just, you know, oh, I was this and that and off Broadway and did that. And then I sat next to James Cromwell, and we talked about everything except ourselves. We talked about philosophy. We talked about human nature. We talked about sports. We talked about business. And I said, you know, you're not stuck on yourself. What's up with that? How come you're an actor? He goes, I love doing it. That's what I love doing. But I remember him being interviewed one time. He was on that movie, Longest Yard, and Adam Sandler, you know, and he said, I like Adam because he's, you know, no BS guy. He's not into the fame and fortune. And I think those are the people that sustain and last, the fly-by-nighters, generally the ones that get caught up in the machine and caught up into the, as you're trying to warn your daughter against, you know, caught up into the fame and fortune and notoriety and having your ego stroked, and that's one thing I didn't like, all that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Well, we haven't had a caller yet. We've got about 5 minutes left.
What?
If we don't get any, no callers.
That's, are you, what? I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm done. Goodbye.
Yeah. Okay, let's hang up. I'm going to put my underwear on. Oh, it's on. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought I took it off. It's on. That's it. Mike's coming out of his garage, and I'm going to stay in my underwear.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I enjoy what I'm enjoying this right now. This is fun. Talking to you, getting the word out. I'm excited. I'm excited about the show I'm doing. I'm excited about, you know, I'm a guy that generally doesn't believe in myself, I guess. Not believe in myself, but even as a comedian, with people falling out of their chairs, slapping me on the back, telling me how awesome I am, I would always then go, yeah, but I'm not really that good. But this show, I mean, I have people come up to me so consistently afterwards and write-ups in the newspapers and so on and so forth that even I'm starting to believe that I really have something here. And so I'm excited about it. I have a young filmmaker right now who's very interested in the story. He loves the script that I sent him, and he'll be at the show on Saturday, hopefully with some possible producer types. And he wants to turn the whole story of the show into a documentary. So
cool.
Or to maybe that working out and wherever this show takes me. And by the way, you mentioned people, if you don't live in the LA area, well, if you have an autism organization in your area, wherever you're listening, and they'd like to do a fundraiser, I do the show as a fundraiser. I've done it many times, and it's worked out great. It's a win-win for everybody, and everyone loves the show, and the organization makes a nice sum of cash, and everybody's happy, and that's, I'm passionate about that too, because if I can help out other parents that are at the beginning of this journey, you know, now that I'm, you know, well into it, if I could help people, all the better. Yes, all the better. It's pretty exciting.
Well, yeah, that's great. And I know there are listeners out there, but as if you're in radio for a while, you understand, you know, it's hard sometimes to get people to call in for whatever reason. But we've just got a few minutes left. So what I'd like to do is send people to my page, and the 125th person, if it's okay with you, Mike.
Okay.
The 125th person who comes to my page will get the free CD.
126th person? 126th. Feel better about it.
126?
Yeah, I think it's just a better number, I think.
Okay. You like round ones?
I'm just kidding. Whatever you want.
126 and a half.
Okay.
125. Oh, let's go with 126. Now I'm confusing people. 126. So if you go to my my webpage, it's inner INNER projection, projection, Jeff Brown, JeffBrown, on Facebook.com. Go there and like my page, the 126th person to like my page will get the free CD.
Actually, the way the calls are flying in, maybe we should make it the 26th person or the 6th.
Well, I have 93 likes now, so I figure we'll get a few more on there.
Cool. Very good.
Well, we just got about a minute left, so I'd like to wrap it up. I'd like to thank Time Flies, you know, a half hour. We're doing short attention span theater radio here, so, you know, half hour it is. So I want to thank Mike. My wife and I are coming out this Saturday to see your show. I want front row center. I want a lot of autograph seekers. I want pictures taken of me. I want people to rub my feet. Does that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's done. Consider it done.
And they'll all be wondering, why the heck am I doing this?
People will be rubbing your feet while you watch the show.
Now we're talking. All righty.
Yep.
I actually told he's going to be 7 in about a month. We're all taking care of him this morning, my wife and I. And I said to him, anything else you need, your highness? You know, feet rubbed while you're watching your cartoons and eating your breakfast before I send you off to school?
Yeah.
So, but anyways, thanks for being on, Mike. It was great.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you this Saturday.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Mike. We'll see you then. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on to my show, Sustainable You. In a couple weeks from today, I'm going to have Elaine Trebek-Karas on. Yes, the former Mrs. Trebek, and she's a well-to-do business person. She's making quite a name for herself, and she's been successful for quite some time. She's also an artist, and she has a show that's on display now in Los Angeles. And we'll talk to her about business. We'll talk to her about fame and fortune and how to work it, make some money, maybe from the good perspective of fame and fortune. So we'll see you in 2 weeks for my show, Sustainable You. And once again, I want to thank Mike for coming out of my show. Appreciate his presence as always. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, come out May 26th to see his show in Studio City, The Real Man. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care and bye-bye.